So my story is similar to most of our stories, I would think, in that I came to the practice of the Dharma, the practice of insight meditation, the practice of mindfulness, because I was suffering. I was suffering, afflicted with aversion, desire, afflicted by my narratives and stories, afflicted by my seeming inability to find happiness in my life. So I came to this practice of meditation, and at the beginning it was a practice of 5-10 minutes of sitting, of silence. But in those 5-10 minutes, I began to return to an understanding that I had at some point in my life. I began to recognize that there was a happiness inside. There was a happiness inside. And in those moments of stillness and quiet, I began to have a felt sense of that happiness inside. I needed to stop what I was doing. I needed to come into a place of silence, or come into a place of stillness, and just be present, and in this present moment, in this present moment experience in my body, there was a felt sense, just a touch. You know, we talk about touching in. I was able to touch into a happiness inside, this truth that there's a happiness inside. And this is our practice. This is why we do this, to know the happiness inside. Myself, I was like most of us, I would guess, in that in my adult life, I pursued happiness in things that were outside of myself. Looked for happiness in things outside, external happiness, we could say. There's different ways of understanding the ways that we look for happiness in things outside of ourselves. One of them is the Buddhist teaching on the vicissitudes, where he says we look for happiness in sense experience, sense pleasures. So we look for happiness in the television or the movie or what's on the phone. And we look for happiness in what's sometimes called gain. So we look for happiness in material gain, in possessions. And we look for happiness in status, notoriety. We've accomplished something that people recognize us for having accomplished. It could be in a career, it could be as a member of or a participant in some kind of a social paradigm. And lastly, we look for happiness and praise. Look for happiness, we feel we'll find happiness if people like us, if people tell us that they like what we've done. If they compliment us, if they acknowledge things that we've done in a positive way. And I'm sure that myself, I'm like most of us in that in looking for happiness in these things, I was led to suffering. You know, looking for happiness in these things leads to suffering. Looking for happiness in sense experience, in gain, in status, in praise leads to suffering, because these things can't bring a lasting happiness. Of course, you know, we have to see this for ourselves. That's why it's often hard when you're younger to come to the Dharma, because, you know, lot of us, most of us, I came to this practice when I was 35. I had to spend a number of years looking for happiness in these things external to finally come to the understanding that these things weren't going to be able to bring me happiness, and then coming back into meditation and remembering what I knew when I was young, what I knew when I was a child, that there was a happiness that was inside. There was a happiness inside. And it was a much greater happiness. So our practice is to, I always say, like to shift away, right? To shift away from looking for happiness in these things that are outside of us to looking for this happiness that's inside. This happiness that's inside. And this is the teaching of the Buddha, that there is a happiness, a true happiness, and we find it within ourselves, within ourselves. This ultimately is what meditation is. This is what meditation is. It's knowing the happiness inside. Meditation is more than stress reduction. Our stress will be reduced. Our blood pressure will probably improve if it's not so good. That's a great benefit of meditation. Some people, that's what they want from meditation. My suggestion is, if that's what people want, and I tell people this all the time, there's probably other modalities, different kinds of meditation that you'd be better served doing than this kind. Things like mindfulness-based stress reduction, even transcendental meditation. The Buddha's, practice is a practice of knowing the happiness inside. I mean, we do experience a reduction in stress. We do experience greater calmness. Greater calmness. But that is something that we come to know as we make our way. That's something that we'll come to know just by stopping, to the degree that we're able to, looking for happiness in things outside of ourselves. Because the thing is, when we look for things in happiness outside of ourselves, that leads to desire for those things and aversion because we don't have those things, which leads to narratives and stories and lots of thinking, and that is the expression of our stress, and our lack of calmness is our thinking. So we come to the meditation, and to the degree that we're able to, we put the thinking to the side and we rest the mind in the breath, and we get calmer. We get calmer. I mean, that really starts to happen the first time that people meditate. That's the first attainment, if you will, in meditation is calmness. It's the first attainment. It's the first attainment. It's not the final attainment. Certainly there are lots of people who practice meditation who feel that that is what meditation is all about. There's an article in the New Yorker this past week about somebody who tried to practice a little bit of meditation and came to the conclusion, well, maybe it's good because it's an analgesic. Meditation, the Buddhist teachings are not an analgesic. They're not a painkiller. They're not a painkiller. So when you want to get your Dharma, you have to be careful where you get it from. Don't get your Dharma from dilettantes. Really important. If you're really interested in the Dharma, I sort of get worried because, so many people find out about what they think is the Dharma, through different means, and the true Dharma never really gets talked about. Never really gets talked about. 13 people on a Sunday night. Thousands of people, hundreds of thousands are reading the New Yorker and thinking that meditation is an analgesic. It's not an analgesic. It's not a painkiller. So meditation is a process, a skill, that leads us to knowing the happiness inside. What does that mean? You know, I always would hear that, oh, there's a happiness inside. What does that mean? Well, what do we mean by inside? We mean inside the body. Inside the body. Happiness inside, that always seemed like a very esoteric thing. Meditation is not an esoteric discipline, or as that particular article said, a supernatural discipline. It's not supernatural. It's an experience of our human reality as it manifests within our bodies. That happiness that we come to know through meditation is an experience of our human reality as it manifests as a felt sense, So we know this happiness inside through the body, inside the body. That's why the Buddhist teaching of mindfulness begins with mindfulness of the body, which begins with mindfulness of the breath. The breath is being a way of anchoring our minds in the body through directed thought and then cultivating an easeful breath through evaluation so the mind will stay in the body. We want the mind to stay in the body because that's where happiness is. Our minds tend to go outside of the body into the thoughts about the places where we think we're going to find happiness in the sense experience, in the gain, in the status. So our job is in meditation is to put the mind in the body because that's where happiness is. So the Buddha said if you can be mindful of the body, you can know true happiness. That's the way to true happiness, is through the body. So we use the breath as an anchor. We cultivate an easeful breath so that we're able to come into the body, and then we cultivate an awareness of the full body. And a sense of ease in the body. So our awareness rests in the body, stays in the body, what we sometimes call the frame of reference, so that we become more embodied, more and more embodied. We used to somewhat jestingly say, you know, meditation is an in-the-body experience. You know, that's our practice, to be more and more embodied, and more and more sensitive. It's a process of becoming more embodied, more in the body, more sensitive to the body. You know, another way of putting it is it's becoming more present. You know, that's what it means to be present, to be in the body. Becoming more and more present, sensitive to our present moment experience. More and more sensitive to the truth of our present moment experience. The truth of our present moment experience is that there is a true happiness, that there is a happiness. But we're not going to know that unless we become more sensitive to our present moment experience, more sensitive to the body. So we begin to know this quality of happiness in the body. It's a process of knowing this quality of happiness. This is something we feel. It's a felt experience. We come to be able to have a felt sense of our goodness, the truth of our goodness. It's really an element of the happiness that we come to know. You know, myself in my life, I never thought I had any goodness. Certainly that's not what I was told, and I thought, well, the way that I'm going to get goodness is by accomplishing things, and then people are going to tell me I'm good. I came to meditation and it was like, you don't need to do anything, you have a goodness. But that was something that I began to know in a felt way, to have that felt experience of my goodness. It's like, you don't need to do anything. You don't need to prove yourself by great accomplishments. You don't need to have people tell you how good you are and how great you are to be able to validate yourself as a human being. You've already been validated. Our problem is we just don't know that. So we go looking for validation somewhere else. we have this goodness inside of ourselves. Practice is knowing that not, it's not intellectual, it's knowing it in a felt way. We have this happiness inside, this happiness of the heart. It's something that we know in a felt way. One of the ways that I've liked to describe this over the past number of years, and you know, it's sort of in accord with what philosophers have said, Nietzsche in particular, was somebody who said, you know, if you really want to understand, we'll use the word happiness, you know, think about the experience of music. Nietzsche said, a life without music is an error. Think about the experience of music. Think about your experience of listening to music. Now try to describe it. Try to describe music and tell me why it's so extraordinary. You can't. But you know that it is because you have a felt experience of it. Try to explain or describe a piece of art. Well, you can't describe it, but you have a felt sense of its beauty. Try to describe a sunset. Try to describe the beauty of nature. All of those experiences, we understand their goodness, you know, in a felt way. In a felt way. So this happiness inside, this felt experience, is something that transcends an intellectual understanding. An intellectual understanding. It's like, we are so much, too much in our heads. Because what are we doing? Again, as I've already delineated, when we're in our heads, we're thinking about what we have that we don't want, that we think is going to bring us happiness. And what we have that we don't, what we don't have that we want, that we think is going to bring us happiness. This happiness is something that you come to know on a felt level. On a felt level. I mean, I didn't understand that until I really began to feel it. You know, up until that point, I've said this before, up until that point, it seems like a theory. Well, maybe it isn't a theory, but that's all we have is a theoretical relationship to it. So that's why it's so important that we incline to knowing it, that we strive to know it. Learned this years and years ago in this practice, particularly through the teachings of Ajahn Chah, who said, you know, notice every moment of happiness. Pay attention to it. Label it. And one of the teachings that he gave was so important to me was, every moment of noticing it is a cause for its re-arising. So, you know, we have to learn to have that felt sense. Have that felt sense, to be sensitive. This is something real. The happiness inside is not theoretical. It's not conceptual. It's not an idea. It's not a mental construct. It's a felt sense. It's something real. It's something that we know in the body and in the heart. And it's something that's true. It's said to be a true happiness because it's always there. It's always there. It's always there. The true happiness that we know that we feel inside of ourselves has always been there. We always say, you know, if you want to begin to start to incline to it, think about times when you were a child, when you, for many of us, were much more in touch with it. That's why I say when I came to this practice at the age of 35 and I sat down and got quiet for a moment and it was like, there's that quality of happiness that I recognized from when I was a child. The problem is that we discard that because the culture and our parents and our professors are telling us, no, happiness is in this, that, and the other thing. And then we start striving after this, that, and the every other thing, and we get caught up in all those narratives, and we get cut off from what's here. But the happiness inside is there. It's inside all of us. And it's the same happiness that the Buddha knew. It's why it's said to be a true happiness. So this is our purpose in meditation, to know this happiness inside. You know, again, poetry is a way that, you know, it takes us, you know, good poetry, like any art, its purpose is to take us beyond the intellectual, right, to that felt sense. Whitman speaks directly here at the end of Leaves of Grass of this happiness inside. He says, there is that in me. I do not know what it is, but I know it is in me. Wrenched and sweaty, calm and cool, then my body becomes. I sleep long. I do not know it. It is without name. It is a word unsaid. It is not in any direct dictionary utterance symbol. Something it swings on more than the earth I swing on. To it, the creation is the friend who embracing awakes me. Perhaps I might tell more. Outlines, I plead for my brothers and sisters. Do you see, oh my brothers and sisters? It is not chaos or death. It is form, union, plan. It is eternal life. It is happiness. And this is what the Buddha said. This happiness inside is eternal. It's deathless. It's always there. It's deathless. That's why we strive to know it. It's what gives life meaning in the face of death. And we drop into this true happiness. We drop into this place that transcends the constructs of time, coming and going, up and down, back and forth. And Rilke. How surely gravity's law, strong as an ocean current, takes hold of even the smallest thing and pulls it toward the heart of the world. So if we just let gravity work, you know, it pulls us right into the body and into the heart. How surely gravity's law, strong as an ocean current, takes hold of even the smallest things, the Smith thing, and pulls it toward the heart of the world. Each thing, each stone, blossom, child, is held in place. Only we, in our arrogance, push out beyond what we each belong to for some empty freedom. If we surrendered to Earth's intelligence, the body's intelligence, if we surrendered to Earth's intelligence, we could rise up rooted like trees. Instead, we entangle ourselves in knots of our own making and struggle, lonely and confused. So like children, we begin again to learn from the things because they are in God's heart. They have never left him. This is what the things can teach us, to fall patiently, to trust our heaviness. Even a bird has to do that before he can fly.